You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramillo, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. It's the first episode since Christmas Day. It's been a long time. I know it was a lot going on and the holidays throws everybody off, but you know, I kind of missed everybody. And so I wanted to record a little show here to get you ready for what should be a big week. There's two games against the Milwaukee Bucks on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be there to cover Tuesday's game to get a good sense of what that first matchup against Milwaukee will be like. I'll talk about what's going on with Jimmy Butler and his health, KZ Okpala, as well as, again, as a preview of that Bucks series. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about Precious Achiuwa. The Christmas Day game kind of cemented his role on this team. I think he's going to be a high-energy big off the bench, and I am all here for it. I've got to say, I like his evolution up to this point. I like where he's found a nice, comfortable groove. He spoke yesterday to media about how well he was fitting alongside that second unit. Of course, that relationship, that camaraderie that he's already built with Goran Dragic on the floor, the chemistry is pretty palpable, but also playing alongside other veterans there. He just seems to be, in his own words, they slow the pace of the game down. They make it easier for him because although he himself is one to kind of get going as quickly as possible, you can see that he has that high motor that everybody talks about. It's important for other players to pick up the slack around him. And I also have to say, I am so impressed by his ability to make an impact because I think all the prognosis regarding the season and the lack of playing time, and I know I mentioned this after my Friday recap of the Christmas Day game against the Pelicans, but I can't believe that with the lack of development and training and the normal schedule that rookies deal with, Precious has still somehow managed to not just find a role on this team, but also contribute at a high level. Over a player that I'll be talking about a little bit later on the show, which is KZ Okpala, who's in his second season and has been through a fair share himself over the course of the last year and a half since he was drafted. Not only was he part of this team and went to Sioux Falls and got that experience and training, but he also went through the bubble. He knows a little bit about what it takes to be part of this Heat team. Somehow, not in the rotation, Precious Achiuwa has managed to stand out. That's incredible. I don't know if it's that Achiuwa is a little bit more ready than Okpala. I think there are differences in their games, obviously, but I also think that Achiuwa was prepared in a way maybe that KZ was not, and he offers a very selective skill. Like, we're all looking at versatility, and I know there's the meme from some of the folks over at Miami Heat Beat about five BAMs, and that makes sense. Like, the idea of it, of five players that can stretch the floor to some degree, pass, rebound, defend positions one through five, that makes a lot of sense. I also think that Achiuwa is not BAM. He is not, in that sense, as versatile. He can do a lot of things, but he also provides a lot of energy and a quick bounce off the floor in a way that Okpala does not. Okpala has length, but I think he can still be a little vulnerable defensively. Achiuwa doesn't seem to have those same weaknesses. He does have some weaknesses, but to me, you know, the comparison is to Bam, and I think it makes sense considering Bam is slightly undersized, that Bam was more of a physical prospect. You kind of viewed his athleticism as being his greatest strength when he was first drafted. I don't think everybody took into consideration how good a passer he was, and that's where he really stands out to me as being far superior to what we've seen from Precious, albeit in just 1 month of being with the team and being, you know, in his rookie season. I think there's the potential to grow to that capacity. But Bam was a noted passer in AAU in high school and, of course, during his one season in Kentucky. So I think the makings of a playmaker have been there historically for Bam, not necessarily for Precious, who's still learning the game, who's still just relying on incredible athleticism, etc. There'll be opportunities to polish those things up. For now, though, I don't think the comparison to Bam is a fair one, but it's probably the next rung down in the evolutionary ladder regarding the center position. If Bam is viewed as, alongside Nikola Jokic to some degree, as great playmaking setters, Jokic obviously can stretch the floor, both are great passers, Bam a better defender. But if you look at that versatility at the center position, something that has been missing historically, then Precious is probably the next step down as far as the evolution of the center is concerned. I just don't think he's there yet. I don't think that he'll ever reach Bam's level of total, complete versatility and skills in every area. There's room for him to grow. And as a passer, I think he can show some floor spacing ability that Bam has not quite incorporated just yet, but will, I think, and shortly during this course of the season and the next. But I also think that if you look at the shots that Precious took during his first two games, he's taken a total of 11 field goals. The one he missed, he was 3 of 4 against the Orlando Magic in the season opener. He missed a shot at the rim. It was a great attempt. Showed a real nice touch around the basket, actually. And then he went 5 of 7 against the Pelicans. The two shots he missed against Steven Adams. And I think the physical presence, the size of Adams was a real deterrent for him. He just didn't realize how to work his way around that bigger body. And, you know, he was able to muscle up on Zion and everybody else that was guarding him. But it was a little different facing a guy like Adams. And so he just doesn't have a go-to move yet. He's relying so much on athleticism and explosion that while it works against smaller centers, even smaller physical players like Zion, I just don't think that you can go up against a guy like Adams who has such a big body and is so strong and athletic in the same way. You need to have a little bit more touch, a little bit more polish, a go-to move that you can, you know, incorporate when you're blocked off, when you face this wall of a New Zealand Kiwi kind of staring you down here. You got to find some other way to go. Right now, that just doesn't exist for Precious, but I think it will. And we should all be, first and foremost, in addition to everything else that's going on with Precious and his own individual growth and the fact that he's shown such great poise and ability to embrace the lessons from his teammates, I think one goes without saying, it speaks about his own personal level of growth and development, his maturity, even at his young age. We saw it last year with Tyler. I think also, too, it speaks to the team-first mentality of everybody else in this roster, that while a guy like KZ might be struggling to find minutes, everybody still is taking the time to build up Precious. And they're doing the same thing with KZ, too. It just hasn't tied together in the same way. But he's learning from Andre Iguodala. He's learning from Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, Bam, Udonis. Everybody has gotten their opportunity to impart their wisdom for a younger player. And the fact that he was working with Tyler, I think that speaks very highly of Tyler as well. Like he was able to share the lessons he learned as a rookie and what it takes to get to that next level with Precious, and it paid off beautifully. So right now, it's still early, small sample size theater and all that. I just like what Precious has been able to do and how he's been able to fit in. And thirdly, though, I also appreciate the fact that this team has just done such an excellent job of drafting over the last few years. Look, you could point to the Justice Winslow situation, but they still hit it out of the park with Josh Richardson for a second-round pick. In the first round with Justice, you know, he slid to the 10th position. I don't think it was a bad selection, and you can't forecast what an individual player's health situation will be like, so let's not debate that. Justice, very versatile, a great player in his own right when he's healthy. I think he could have been a contributor on this team just the same. Didn't work out for him. That's okay. But I think the team has done a really good job of identifying needs, finding players to fit in, getting them to maximize those skills, and with everything else, with the team culture and everything that exists on the team, and identifying individuals willing to put in the work, it's just paid off so well for this Heat front office. So when you look at the teams that develop players and are the best at the draft, I think Miami has to certainly be in the consideration, the conversation, excuse me. I don't know how you could see it otherwise. Maybe you have an issue with Pat Riley. Maybe you have an issue with the way they draft, or, you know, maybe it's just about Heat culture and getting guys to work. But even that is a skill into itself. And I think the team has developed it, and I think it's paid off wonderfully for everybody involved. Just not just the team, but also the individuals that get drafted and get to be a part of this front office and this team. I'll look ahead to the two-game series against Milwaukee, plus the latest on KZ Okpala, like I mentioned before, here on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest news, rumors, and analysis. Look, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust here in the Locked On Network. That's betonline.ag. You've signed up today for a free account at betonline.ag, and you can use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The NBA season's just kicked off. Betting doesn't have to be difficult. Get in on the action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON so you can get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, you get daily picks and quick-hitting advice from experts to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. 2 games, 0 seconds of play. I think one of the biggest surprises of the season has been the lack of playing time from KZ Okpala, not just because he's achieved cult-like status with his team, but also because in Miami's 2 preseason games, he really showed some incredible promise. He showed great range on his 3-point shot, also played some pretty solid defense, showed the kind of length and athleticism on defense that we thought would make him, if not necessarily a great player, at least a very good rotational player. Now, it's hard to separate KZ, the myth, KZ, the cult figure, and his actual on-court performance, because, again, now I feel like as a franchise of fans, everybody listening to the show has probably invested a great deal of emotional energy in seeing KZ reach that next level. You have to pump the brakes there. I just don't know what's going to happen if it hasn't happened to this point. Again, compare the situation with Precious Achiuwa. Younger than KZ Okpala, went through the same process. Look, he didn't even get as much playing time in college as Okpala did. You know, he was denied the opportunity to be in the Final Four. Maybe there was a higher ceiling there. Who knows? He didn't get to the chance to really showcase his skills in the couple of months that he was in Memphis. But as far as in the next step, he seems to be further along. And, you know, Eric Spoelstra was asked about it today during our media session on Monday morning. And I'll play some audio of it as a response that came from a question from Ira Winterman of the Sun Sentinel. He asked about Okpala. He was trying to determine what Spo's rotation might be like. Like, you know, after covering the team for 30 years, you'd think you'd realize that Spo's not going to divulge any kind of information about that. But as Iris told me before, he's a professional provocateur and instigator. So we'll see what happens as far as whether or not Okpala gets any playing time on Tuesday and Wednesday against the Milwaukee Bucks. It seems like he'd be a great fit. It seems like he would get an opportunity there, considering the length and size of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that you want to avoid any foul trouble for Bam Adebayo. But here's Spo's response about what's going on with KZ and what we've seen from him in practice. My apologies for the audio sound quality. It's not that great. It's difficult to get a really good quality sound off these interviews. These files are huge, and I just wanted to get this out there for quickness's sake, but you should be able to understand what Eric is saying here about KZ Okpala.
That's all part of learning the league and learning how to break through and earn a consistent role. Usually it's doing the playing a specific role of defending, playing with energy, helping the offense function, and then you earn more opportunities from there. And KZ is fully in that process right now. And he's had some stacking up more consistent days and really good practice days. And then our last memory of him, you know, in a game was very good. So he just has to continue to commit to that process.
So not a clear response there. He's not going to, again, he plays everything close to the vest. This is Eric Spoelstra. This is his 13th season as an NBA head coach. He knows what to say, when to say, and how to say it. He knows how to get everything out of his players. He's not going to just leak things out to the media, no matter how many times we ask him these questions. He's smart enough to deflect those kinds of type of queries. But as far as Okpala is concerned, it's something that I continue to mention. I have to believe that the reason he's not getting playing time is because he has not shown anything at the practice level. And that's it's tough to exactly pinpoint what Eric is looking for in these situations. You know, he's looking for, I think, constant effort most in all. Like, that it translates also into a relatable skill or an applicable skill, for sure. You want to be able to take that effort. And if you're just running around all over the court, you know, that's fine, but it's not going to really necessarily lead to winning if you can't do anything with all that energy and intensity. You don't want to just be running around out there like a maniac showing, hey, look, I've got effort. That's not enough. Effort is enough, but it has to tie in together. And I think with what we saw from KZ, what we've seen over the past year, and what Eric alluded to in his responses about Okpala is that it just isn't consistent enough. Like, you're going to get that 20-point outing one night, and then you're going to get a 3-point outing. And I know that there's the same issue perhaps with an older veteran like Kelly Olynyk, but at least Olynyk is a 7-footer and a little bit more established, and certainly I think a much better shooter than Ogpala has been and ever will be, or at least will be for the foreseeable future. With Ogpala also, similarly to Achiuwa, there isn't a particular skill, but in Achiuwa's case, that skill is energy, and I think it's translated to, like, finishing around the basket. You look at those – I mean, I can't – look, I don't want to tie in the two segments here, but talking about Precious, I the baskets that he hit against New Orleans and Orlando, just high energy. He doesn't stop. He keeps getting the ball. He picks up those offensive rebounds. He finishes around the basket with great touch. He just, you know, he finishes over other players like Zion Williamson. And I think that's impressive. I don't know that I see that same kind of burst and energy from a guy like Ogpala. And if that's the case, then while there's potential there, while he has his size, while he has his skills, and he has all these things that he has shown on occasion, it's only on occasion. And I just don't think that Eric right now feels comfortable utilizing Ogpala. Maybe is it the right decision? I think it's probably hurting Ogpala more now, because while the flip side of that and what Eric is probably thinking is that, one, it's going to cost me a game. That's his priority always, is to win, similarly to Jimmy Butler and the Heat ethos. He wants to win at all costs. He doesn't want to risk it by playing a basically untested rookie in Ogpala. But if that exposes him, if Ogpala gets exposed when he does play, maybe he'll never recover. Maybe he'll lose confidence. Maybe he'll go out there and get burnt. You know, looking at the Milwaukee matchup, is he going to be able to guard Adekumpo? I don't see it. Can he guard even a Bobby Portis who's coming off the bench for Milwaukee? Maybe. That's going to be a tough one to figure out. If I had to guess right now, I'd say Ogpala's going to get some playing time. I just think it seems to make a lot of sense considering some of the injury situations and some of the kind of length that Milwaukee has on their roster. So I would assume that he gets some playing time. But the flip side of that, I don't want to have him exposed, is that, well, he kind of needs to get his feet wet. Like, if he can go up there and somehow, some way, find an opportunity to match up against Adetokounmpo and maybe hold his own, maybe that's the boost in confidence that a young player needs in order to be able to continue building and proving himself. And I think that might be what's missing, because he shows one step forward and then Spo benches him and doesn't play him for two games. And of course, then that's a couple steps back. And I think that's where he's at right now, where, you know, he's kind of being told what to do in practice. He's being encouraged and he's being yelled at and he's being all explained to and sat down for film sessions, all the great stuff that he coaches and development personnel do with their players. I'm sure he's probably working very closely with Malik Allen, that is, Caron Butler, everybody on this roster who has played the wing position the way Ogpala is expected to. And if that's the case, I imagine he's probably getting some good lessons there. But, you know, he just also needs to be able to test all this information. Maybe he'll get screwed. Maybe he'll get ruined out there. Maybe he'll get, again, exposed badly by a player like Adetokounmpo. But conversely, you won't know until you give it a chance. And although I trust Spo to gauge that situation better than most, because if he's already felt comfortable giving that time to Precious, and of course, you can always argue there's some politicking there regarding Precious as your first-round pick. Yeah, that makes sense. You're paying him a lot more money than Casey. Sure, I get it. But you also made this acquisition. You traded a number of second-round picks to get Precious. Why not give him the chance? Like, at some point here, it just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. There was the bubble. There was the injury that may or may not have impacted his playing time there. But he's clearly healthy. He's ready to go. We saw what he could do against Toronto in the preseason. I don't see why you wouldn't give him an opportunity to showcase those skills against a superior opponent. So I'm hoping... Well, I'll save it for the next segment, considering whether or not he might get some playing time against the Milwaukee Bucks, because I feel like, obviously, I feel like he should. And I think we could also talk a little bit more about what to expect versus Milwaukee, not just regarding Casey Ogpala, but Jimmy Butler and his current health situation. I'll get into all that in the next segment. You're Locked On Heat. If you're looking for the best-tasting protein bar ever, look no further. It's Built Bar. Talked about it before. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones. Should have tried them all by now. They're 12 original flavors. All 18 of them are great. They're all 100% covered in chocolate. They're so soft and easy to chew. Trust me, you don't even know you're eating a protein bar, but you get all the benefits from them. They're healthy for you. They're great for health-conscious people. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight, and my favorite part is if you're looking for a delicious treat and you don't want to cheat too badly, you want to indulge in something, that's why Built Bars are the best for you. Let me tell you, you grab a box, you mix and match different flavors. It's so convenient. You go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockdownheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. You all have been fantastic following games, sending in questions via email, DM, also, of course, responding to my tweets using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Keep up the great work, please. I really do want that kind of feedback after games. It helps me to address your questions and to get some of those responses on air after the show. I mean, after the games. On Tuesday, I'll be at the America Airlines Arena or whatever it's going to be called in the near future regarding, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, seeing that first game there. I chose not to cover the Wednesday game because I feel like there's going to be more to watch from my home computer, my home TV, regarding the impact of the second night of a back-to-back set. That's what everybody has been talking about. When you ask players, when they kind of forecast what's going to happen against the Bucks, it's a weird back-to-back set because you're at home, which is great for Miami. Not so good for Milwaukee, although they get to be in their hotel, and I imagine things are going to be they'll have whatever COVID restrictions and protocols are in place for every team while they're on the road. That should be interesting for them from that perspective, how to – they're going to shoot around on Tuesday. Miami is not. So, you know, they've been in town for a couple of days. Maybe they've been chilling here. It's great weather. Hopefully they've been taking advantage of it. Looking at you, Giannis, if you're you know feeling frisky and you want to force a trade, I'm sure Miami would be happy to listen to you. But as far as the upcoming matchup is concerned, it's going to be a little weird on Wednesday, I think. Tuesday, we're going to probably see a little bit closer to what an actual game is. I wonder if Spo is going to balance his starting lineup. Probably not, considering, look, Miami's had back-to-backs before. You know, let's say Miami had hosted Milwaukee at home and then traveled to Orlando or Atlanta for the second night of a back-to-back set. Spo would have gone with the same starting rotation unless there was a lingering injury or injury concern. So I don't think he's going to tweak that lineup too much. We'll already see get a sense for what Milwaukee's lineup will be like on Tuesday, and then it'll probably follow suit on Wednesday as well, although I would imagine, hopefully for his sake, Coach Mike Budenholzer would adjust his lineups a little bit because he's been under fire for not having made those kind of decisions during the playoffs. Jimmy Butler, unfortunately, listed as doubtful, as I mentioned on Friday after the game to the Pelicans, after he went down with an injury and did not start in the second half. I thought it would be best for him to miss both games, to be honest with you. Like, you know, he does have some time to recover, but you don't want to force the issue this early on in the season, especially when you have this compressed schedule, when you have so much going on and you're trying so hard to be able to, I don't know if necessarily home court advantage or reach home court advantage in the playoffs is your goal, but you're trying to set patterns. You're trying to build a style of play, an identity, as Eric Spoelstra likes to say. And while I think that's pretty firmly in place, you want to tighten it up as you start building towards the playoffs. And right now you can't afford to lose Jimmy Butler for the postseason. A game in December or two games in December against the Bucks don't really mean anything other than to say against, you know, in the playoffs, well, they were 0-4 against the Bucks this season, or 2-2 against the Bucks this season. They lost two games. No, who cares? None of that matters anything. I mean, you know, Boston had our number in the regular season last year, and then Miami beat them pretty handily in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, I don't think it really makes the regular season record, as much as you want to look to it as a baseline or a foundation for what could happen in the postseason, clearly it's not the case. You have coaches like Spo who can make choices and adjustments, and you have coaches like Budenholzer who do not, at least historically have not. As far as the overall matchup itself is concerned, I'm curious to see with Jimmy out of the starting lineup, at least my expectation listed as doubtful. Again, I don't think that he'll play on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think you'll probably see Avery Bradley get some time here. Now, Milwaukee fields a lineup of Giannis, of course, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, recently acquired from the New Orleans Pelicans, and Dante DiVincenzo. They started the last game, a 20-point blowout loss to the New York Knicks. Really surprising. Have not been able to watch that game. Curious to see what the issue was. Julius Randle looked like he took Adetokounmpo's lunch there. He scored 29 points in that matchup, so that's going to be an interesting one. Adetokounmpo only had 27, but 9 of 15 from the floor, 8 of 13 from the line, took 5 three-point attempts. I guess the issue was probably Middleton, who was 1 of 6 from three-point range, so we'll see what happens against Miami, but I would imagine that same lineup will be in play. And, of course, Brook Lopez at center. Now, in the playoffs, you could match up with Lopez by starting Jay Crowder and Bam Adebayo. You can have any of those players switch off there. Kind of forces Lopez off the floor. I just don't know you have that option on Tuesday night. I personally would expect Myers to get the starting nod again. It made sense against New Orleans in the Steven Adams size matchup. With Lopez out there, I think it could also make some sense. Again, it worked really well in the playoff bubble. You had Jay there. You had Bam. I don't know that you want to risk Bam getting into foul trouble early on when he's guarding Giannis. So you want another switchable player. That makes sense. I just don't know who the option is. Like, is it Achiuwa? Is it Okpala? Is it Mo Harkless? Do you want Mo Harkless guarding Brook Lopez? I don't like that matchup for Miami either. So it's going to be interesting. Some great decisions there. Duncan Robinson will start, obviously. Tyler will start. And I think Bradley gets the starting nod considering what he's done. Now, Spo was asked about Kendrick Nunn. And yes, he believes that K-Nunn will play during the series. Still don't think he's the best option to start. I like what Bradley can do. Now, you'll probably see Bradley starting on Tuesday and then maybe somebody else starting on Wednesday. I could see that kind of switch happening. You know, I asked Spo about Bradley's playing time and minutes, and you know, he was careful considering the length of the season, considering the compressed nature of it, something that we're going to see play out in some small ways here and there throughout the rest of the year. He doesn't want to force Bradley back in at all. He pointed out Bradley's conditioning level specifically. I just don't know that you want to force the issue. So we'll see how it happens. It's going to be interesting. My guess would be Bradley starts with Myers starting there because I just don't think Harkless or Achiuwa are ready to be switchable onto Giannis, although I like what Precious was able to do on occasion against Zion Williamson. I don't know that you want to force him anyway into getting into foul trouble, and I think the size of Brook Lopez makes it a little bit more advantageous for Myers to get the starting nod. I'm curious to see how it plays out. My bigger concern, even more so than the Tuesday-Wednesday game, and I got to be honest, I keep repeating this, and I feel like I'm being somewhat negative here. A party pooper, if you will. But damn, I don't want to see Jimmy start to get bogged down by injuries. I am legitimately concerned about his health for the rest of the season. Like, I keep saying this, but he was not a healthy player last year. Does that mean he was, you know, not great? Of course. He was fantastic. He was a fantastic individual player during the regular season. Yes, his shot was off. Still looks like it's off. I think it's going to continue to be off just because he's just going to degrade for the rest of his career. And can he transcend that? Can he muster the willpower and energy to force himself to be a great player the way he did in the finals? Absolutely. But part of the strength of this team is also having other players pick up the slack for you. And I think he's depending on that to some degree. And I'm concerned. I am legitimately concerned about whether or not he's going to be able to be a healthy player for the rest of this regular season. Because I think, again, you want to have other players step up. You want to see what you can get. They don't seem concerned. The Heat, you know, they don't seem too upset or worried about what's going to happen with Jimmy. But those are my concerns. I feel like this is a player who's, well, we're starting to see what the end could look like for him. And given that it's year two of a four-year contract, that is a bigger concern. I'm not ready to trade Jimmy or anything like that. I'm just saying something to look out for because I think we're going to see minor injuries from him throughout the regular season. He's going to miss games here and there. I don't want to see him back into action too quickly. Given that he's Jimmy, is probably going to try and force himself on the floor. But, man, it worries me. It worries me. We'll see how it plays out. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a strange two-game set there on Wednesday. Again, I'm not covering the game because I wanted to see how the teams respond to that second night action, whether or not there's things that you can pick up on TV that you can't on covering the game live, and vice versa, of course. And while there's going to be a different energy in game one, I think game two, it's going to be about how you respond, about how you play your rotations differently, how you make those kind of tweaks and adjustments. And I just wanted to have that experience at home rather than having to do it here. Plus, I'll be honest with you, it's hard as hell to come home from the American Airlines Arena and record a show there. And I just, it's a empty, cavernous arena. It's not going to sound particularly great. I'm going to try to do it on Tuesday night. We'll see how it plays out. It's also not easy, again, to watch a show, watch the game, excuse me, sit there for an hour after the game ends to be part of the Zoom media calls, and then on top of all that, record and then drive back home. So I've got a toddler who wakes me up in a few hours after that is all over, and believe me, I could use some sleep at my age. So anyway, that's it for today. Make sure that you remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat whenever you get in your car. I'll be, of course, covering those games on Tuesday and Wednesday, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And also, make sure that you listen to Locked On NBA. East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays as Wes Goldberg, my former co-host here on Locked On Heat and a Warriors beat writer, joins me to tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day, coast to coast. Subscribe to Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get podcasts. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you as always for your support.